You know, we're wrapping up our series in 1 John today, and we're going to look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. I want to invite you to stand with me as we look at these verses. Starting in verse 1, it says this: "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Father, we thank you for this truth, these words on paper. We also thank you for this truth, these words on paper and lives that we just saw, people being born of you, believing in your Son. And Father, we just ask that that new life that comes from being born in you would be refreshed and renewed in each of us this morning as we look at your word and desire to seek you and to love you. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. So today, as I said, we're wrapping up our series in 1 John. It's been called Love in Action. And I want to point out how this idea of love in action actually ties into our purpose here at Temple. And so hopefully at this point, you know that our purpose as a church is to love God passionately, to serve our neighbors generously, and to grow in Christ intentionally. But it's actually more than a purpose. It's also a process. Because as we love God passionately, we will serve our neighbors generously, and putting our love for God into action helps us to grow in Christ intentionally. But it all starts with desire. It starts with a desire to love God passionately. It starts with a desire to serve neighbors generously. It starts with a desire to grow in Christ intentionally, desiring a more intimate relationship with God, and then purposefully engaging in a lifestyle of seeking that deeper and stronger relationship with God above everything else. And that's what we see in baptism. It's an expression of a desire to say, I want my relationship with God to be above everything else. And so we understand that because it's a process, there's an order to it. Everything that is a process has an order. And love in action is also a process. And so I want you to think about these three words before we press too deeply into our text today. The word love, we've talked about that. It's agape. It's selfless love. The word in seems kind of redundant to even say, hey, this is what the word in means, but the word in implies a situation or something that is enclosed in something else or surrounded by something else. An action is the accomplishment of a thing, usually over a period of time, in stages, and with the possibility of repetition. So love in action then is selflessness enclosed in the repetitive accomplishment of a thing in stages. You see the process in that? You see the order in that? Love in action is not random acts of kindness. The world would love for us to believe that. And we see it on bumper stickers. Practice random acts of kindness. And it's not occasional deeds of goodwill. It's not randomly showing up into a situation with goodwill and saying, I'll do this thing. Love in action is agape encased in ordered and intentional deeds. Agape demands that we are intentional about how it comes out. So last week in 1 John 4, 9 and 10, we saw that God's love was made manifest among us through the sending of his Son, Jesus. Love in action is actually part of God's plan of salvation. So for us as believers then, love in action is manifesting God's love for us through obedience to God's commandments. You just heard that from people getting baptized, that they wanted to obey Christ's call. And that commandment begins, according to 1 John, with this idea of loving one another. We manifest the love of God by being intentional in loving one another. First, our brothers and sisters in Christ, those of us that are part of this body, not just the body at Temple, but the global body of Christ. And then loving one another in the world. See, love in action is participating in God's manifestation of His love in the world through the sending of His Son, Jesus. And we are manifesting that very same love of God when we practice love in action by loving one another. But we have to do it in an ordered and intentional way as a lifestyle. That's what our text from 1 John 5 shows us. To participate in manifesting God's divine love, we need to connect faith and love. We need to connect faith with action. So today, I want to help you see that your capacity for love and action is directly proportional to the depth of your faith. As we purposefully increase our faith, we will exponentially increase our capacity for love and action. And so we see that in 1 John 5. We've seen it throughout all of 1 John, and he brings it to a head here in 1 John 5. And so the connection between love and action is made in these first five verses of 1 John 5. There's a process embedded in our purpose of loving God passionately and serving our neighbors generously and growing in Christ intentionally. But there's also a process embedded in the connection between love and action and faith in these verses. And it starts with belief. So look at verse 1 in chapter 5 of 1 John. It says this: everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Belief in Jesus is the evidence of being born of God, which means that belief, faith in Jesus, is actually initiated by God. And so think back to 1 John 4, verse 19, where he wrote, "We love because he first loved us." Why do we love God then? Because he first loved us. And so the love of God and love of one another come from the same source, God's love for us. That's the beginning of it. So faith in Jesus is initiated by God. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12:3. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Faith is the beginning of love in action, and it's initiated by God. So the first stage in the process of love in action then is to be born of God. It's to be regenerated, what we commonly refer to as being born again. Listen to this from John 3:3. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You must be born again to be in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is the place where God's will is done. And so in verse 2, back to John 5, or 1 John 5, we see this: by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. So remember, a couple weeks ago in 1 John 3, verse 11, the commandment that this entire letter is built around is the commandment to love one another. So catch this part. This is important. John has just shown us that faith, belief in Jesus, precedes love. Faith comes before love, and it is a product of regeneration, of being born again, of being begotten of God. Therefore, there is no obedience to God outside of regeneration. If we desire to obey God, we must start with the regeneration. So what we have is the first stage of this process of love and action is actually faith. And that's important, because to even want to obey God's commandments, we must be born again. The very desire to love, because love comes from the source of God's love for us, then is a product of being regenerated in Jesus. It's a product of faith. And because you're in Christ, because of union with Him, you will want to love others. But faith comes first. because faith is actually the foundation of love. The practical ramification of faith as the foundation of love is this. It's that when we don't love others well, when we fail at it, when we don't step into that, we don't have to be overwhelmed with guilt and hopelessness. Or we don't have to drift into hardworking legalism or fatalistic morality. You can simply say, I must increase my faith in Jesus. When you don't do this well, you don't have to beat yourself up. You don't have to disappear. You don't have to question your salvation. But you must say, I must increase my faith in Jesus. And so we do that by walking in the light, by shining his light, by abiding in his love, all the things we've talked about for the last 3 weeks. So the first stage then is regeneration. Regeneration happens by faith. And so this is why our purpose and our process at Temple begin with love God passionately. If you've been born again by God through faith in Christ, the greatness of what you have been saved from and what you have been saved for will become the central focus of your life. And as you understand how great a salvation you've been given, your love for God will become more passionate. There's no way around it. This means that love God passionately is not a strategy, but a response. It's a response to what God has done in us and for us, what he has saved us from and what he saved us for. And we want to constantly seek to love God more passionately. Our first love and action response then is to seek to love God more passionately through getting to know him more fully. By doing what the early church did in Acts 2:42, devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. That's how the faith of the early church grew. And so regeneration, which is a product of faith, actually leads to the next stage, which is faith itself. Faith. Expanding and growing through loving God passionately. That's what we see in verse 4 in 1 John 5. It says this, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And so what does it mean to overcome the world? Well, to understand that, we have to look back to 1 John 2:16. You might remember this verse from a couple weeks ago. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. So what is it that's from the world here? Desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. That can be summed up in 2 points. Coveting what we don't have, and pride in what we do have. Simply put, we love stuff. When we don't have it, we want it, and when we do have it, we want to talk about it. Because we think having more of it creates something in us that's worth admiring, and we think telling people what we have somehow creates this esteem in their eyes for us. And so what does all that have to do with faith? Well, here's the thing. 1 John 2:16 tells us that the desires are not from the Father, but from the world. So the connection to faith is this. The desires of the flesh actually draw our attention. That's why John calls them the desires of the eyes. And what we focus on, we will eventually put our faith in. There's no way around it. We will begin to think that the desires of our eyes can actually bring us fulfillment. This is how these desires of the world, these desires of our flesh and our eyes, eventually co-opt our faith and make it about them instead of about God. Which is why in verse 4 of 1 John 5, he writes this, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The victory that overcomes the world is our faith, because our faith in God, when we are intentionally growing in it, keeps the desires of our eyes from ever becoming the objects of our faith. Because what God offers us through faith in Him is not temporal, it's eternal. And so the outcome of having the victory of faith, which overcomes the world, then becomes the foundation of love in action. Here's how: by freeing us to pursue the kingdom of God and its things instead of the world and its things. And the greatest thing in the kingdom of God is this: manifesting the love of God in the world through love in action, through loving one another. What we here would call serving our neighbors generously as a manifestation of our faith in God. And so according to John, it all starts with regeneration, giving us a reason for loving God passionately. And then it comes in ever-increasing faith in Jesus, the victory that overcomes the world, that lifts us up and makes our lives transcending, going beyond the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life. And so to this point in these verses, here's what we have. We have regeneration, which leads to loving God passionately, and we have faith that overcomes the world, which frees us to serve our neighbors generously because we are not seeking anything from the desires of the eyes, the desires of the flesh. And so finally, that brings us to the last stage in John's process of love in action. But first, let me tell you this. It would be easy and natural to think of love in action, of loving one another, of manifesting God's love in this world as an outcome of a process. But it isn't. It's actually the last stage in a process. See, the outcome of the process in regeneration and faith and love in action is actually way deeper and far greater than most people think. It goes deep to the place that Paul writes about in Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. We love that verse, right? We all know that verse. We lean on that verse. Listen to verse 29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to what? To be conformed to the image of His Son. And why did He predestine that? In order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Do you see the God-intended outcome of the process of regeneration and faith and love in action? The God-intended outcome of that process of our purpose here at Temple is this: to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And for what purpose? That He, Jesus, might be the firstborn of many brothers. So the process of regeneration, of faith and love in action, is designed to conform those who love God and are called to His purpose into the image of Jesus so that God can have a massive family of children. Children begotten by Him through regeneration. Children who are living in the victory of faith and are loving one another as a manifestation of God's love seen first in Him giving His Son, and then in us actually manifesting that same love in the world by loving one another. And so here's the thing. If we think love in action is simply a way to make the world a better place or some type of evangelism tool, we are missing the greater glory of God, which is His power to take sorry, wretched people like me and you and conform us to the image of His Son. And by doing that, glorifying His Son so that He draws all people to Himself. See, love in action is a part of a process. It's not an outcome. When we talk about being people who love one another, so that our evangelism model of come and see actually invites people to see something worth seeing. When we talk about loving one another, when we talk about love in action, we are not talking about this as an outcome. We don't get to stop and go, I love well. I've arrived. Here I am. Come see. Watch how I love people. No, that's not what it's about. We're not seeking an outcome. We are seeking to live a life that's in the process of constant regeneration, of constant deepening faith, of greater love growing in us because we are constantly being conformed to the image of His Son. And by doing that, the world starts to change. Not in ways we want. No, it's not going to be a change that results in all bloodshed is gone and all famine has ended and all violence is over and all world wars cease and all these crazy people who seem to be running the show right now just go away. That's not going to happen. But what will happen is our faith, which is the victory that has overcome the world, will be elevated to a place that transcends all of this, and we will be people who can say, whatever happens, Lord, you are in control. And we can stand in you, and we can rest in you, and your Son is glorified. So that when we hear the wars and the rumors of wars and the famines and all the things that we know are going to come, we're not running around lost like the world. We're standing on a foundation of faith, rooted in the fact that we are regenerated in God through Christ, and that we can love all people no matter what. That's why the last part of our process, the critical part of our process, is growing in Christ intentionally. Because that's what God in Romans 8 said His intention is. His intention is that we would be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, wouldn't it make sense that we'd be about the Father's business? Wouldn't it make sense that we would want what He wants? So here's what we have. John, in this last chapter of his letter, brings forth the process of regeneration and faith and loving one another as a means of transformation. Transformation that continuously manifests God's love in the world. The love that came into the world first when He sent His Son, and then the love that comes into the world by Him sending His Son over and over and over again into the world through us, conformed and conforming to the image of Christ. By regeneration, by being born again into Christ, by faith, as we live out the victory we have in Christ that overcomes the world, by love in action, manifesting His love through our loving of one another. It's a process that results in love and action for sure. But the outcome of the process of love and action is more than simply agape encased in ordered and intentional deeds. Love and action actually conforms us to the image of Jesus. This is why our purpose and our process are one and the same. Love God passionately. Serve neighbors generously. Grow in Christ intentionally, because we know that as we embrace this process, we will be conformed by the Holy Spirit into the image of Jesus. And as we are conformed into the image of Jesus, we will manifest the love of God in this world. Just as God manifests the presence of His love, Jesus, in and through us. So we all, though, have to respond as individuals. Just as we saw response this morning as individuals. And so I want to encourage you towards a response through a little story. Last Saturday, I sat on the ordination council of one of our Feb brother pastors. And many of you probably know Matt Clever. He went through ordination council last week, and it was fantastic to be a part of that and to hear his heart. But understand, when you're on an ordination council, there's two basic assumptions. The first is that everyone's going to be involved through asking questions. So you can't just sit there silently and observe. Here's the second. The second is that you won't beat up the candidate too badly because you've already been through this process yourself. And so your questions, although you want to get to things, you don't necessarily want to beat somebody up. And so when Matt was talking about this theological topic of progressive sanctification, this process of gradually being transformed into the image of Christ, basically it's the idea of how we're made into the image of Jesus. When that topic came up, I asked Matt this question. What is the relationship between our efforts and God's grace in the process of sanctification? I loved his answer so much, I want to share it with you today. Matt said something along the lines of this. He said, think of sanctification as climbing a mountain. We start at the bottom as who we are because of the fall. And the top of the mountain is the place where we're perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus. And this is what Matt said. He said, you're going to end up at the top of the mountain. Ultimately, when you stand in Jesus' presence, you will be conformed perfectly into his image. But the question is this. Are you going to participate with the Holy Spirit as he leads you up the mountain, walking when you can, allowing him to carry you when you can't, or are you going to resist the process and be dragged up the mountain, kicking and screaming the whole way? See, the Holy Spirit's conforming all of us to the image of Jesus if we place our faith in Christ. It's being done in us. If we've been regenerated, if our faith is increasing and has overcome the world, and if we seek to live a life of love in action, we are being conformed to the image of Christ. Look at verse 3 in 1 John 5, though. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Can I just suggest that if God's commandments feel burdensome, that maybe it's because we're not fully participating in the conforming process? Maybe, as Matt said, it's because we're kicking and screaming instead of intentionally participating in the conforming into the image of God's Son by God the Spirit. And so I want to encourage you towards a response of regeneration and of faith and of love and action. I want to encourage you to respond to this process of loving God passionately and serving our neighbors generously and growing in Christ intentionally. Decide today, are you going to participate with God's Spirit in transforming you by climbing, or are you going to be dragged kicking and screaming up the mountain? That's the question we all need to ask ourselves. Am I going to participate? Or am I going to fight it and let it be done to me? See, participation starts with desire. Whether you want to believe it or not, none of us does anything we don't want to do. It's the nature of our fallen will to not do anything that we don't want to do. There's always a no. There's always a no. Participation in this process of being conformed to the image of Jesus starts with desire, a desire to allow God to conform you to the image of his Son. You have to want it. And you have to want it so that you can be a manifestation of his love in this world. And so here's what participation actually means. Participation means intentionally structuring your life around your faith in God. See, love in action moves us to act. We act in faith out of the regeneration given us through the new birth in Jesus so that our lives manifest the presence of Christ in the world. Love in action results in obeying God's commandments, and obedience increases as our faith increases. When we're not loving well, don't make the mistake of saying to yourself, I need to be more loving. Go to the source. If you feel as if you don't love well, increase your faith in Christ and watch the love flow out of you. It's transformation by redirection, because willpower is never going to work. I spent many years questioning whether I was even capable of loving anybody. And what I found is when I put that question on the shelf and said, I don't know, but I'm going to love you more. I'm going to press more towards you. I'm going to let my life be structured around you. It's funny how that loving question resolves itself. And then we actually begin to do deeds of love. And so here's a practice I want to leave with you for this week. It's so simple. Every one of us can do it. It's simply this. Spend time this week intentionally increasing your faith by thinking on what God has saved you from and what he saved you for. Because I think when our faith begins to waver, it's because we have too low a view of what we've been saved from. And we have too low a view of what we've been saved for. I believe that each of us, if we understood what life for all of eternity without Jesus actually looked like, we would have time for nothing but praise. And I believe that if we knew and understood what life for all eternity with Jesus would look like, we would have nothing but time for praise. We have to understand what we've been saved from and what we've been saved for. And when the world creeps in, and our faith isn't big enough to overcome it, and we focus on the trials and the struggles of this world and the insults and the brokenness, we won't see what we've been saved from, and we won't see what we've been saved for. We'll only desire that this is different. And I can promise you right now, there's not going to be one moment in heaven where any of us regrets that something here wasn't different. We're not going to think on it. Why not put our minds there now? Think about what you've been saved from. Think about what you've been saved for. And watch your life of faith increase. And then watch your love for others increase. It's a simple call. Father, we thank you so much for the words of John. God, we praise you and bless you that you moved through him and worked through him and that we had a chance to walk even on a surface level through this letter that you've given your church, your people about loving one another, knowing that it all starts with you, God. And so I just ask that you continue to do the mighty work of regenerating the lost, of having many sons and daughters born of you. And Father, I pray that those who are born of you here, who you bring to faith, belief in Jesus here, find a place to grow in their faith, to love one another and to be loved by others. They find a place to manifest your love in this world in an intentional and purposeful way as we all grow by your Spirit, through your power, into the image of your Son. Amen.